My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Our guest today is Doug Collison, United Church of God pastor in Western Kentucky. He pastors churches also in Henderson, Indiana, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and of course in his hometown of Paducah, Kentucky. So welcome to Inside United, Doug.
Thank you, Victor, and thank you so much for allowing me to share some of these stories.
Well, we're just very grateful that we could make this podcast. A horrible event occurred December 11th, that was last weekend, by the most horrible devastation left by tornadoes in Western Kentucky, and actually over a much wider area that covered several states. But most of the epicenter was in a town of Mayfield, Kentucky, which is, I think, about 25, 30 miles south of Paducah, Kentucky. There are stories of death and devastation, and Doug has been on scene. He's been on the scene there to see what has taken place. But there are also stories of people pulling through in tough times, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So, Doug, when did this happen? Let's kind of go through this step by step. When did this happen, and what was it?
Well, Friday night, there was a lot of reports, even before it happened, that we were in a prime area for our tornado outbreak here in Western Kentucky. And I looked at the projected paths and all that and saw that there was almost like a bullseye in the area that we were at. So I was kind of watching the weather Friday night, kind of see what was going to happen, kind of following the radar and all that. And it certainly did happen as they predicted. Around 9:30, reports started coming in from Facebook and Twitter about some events that had been happening in Western Kentucky, mostly centered on Mayfield. First reports were of a bad tornado that had hit a candle factory in Mayfield. And from what the people that were there, who saw it, they said it was bad. Of course, reports are spotty, you know, and you don't know what to believe, you know, because the communication isn't out there. But it happened probably within an hour or two time frame all over Western Kentucky, basically.
When we heard that, and when Saturday morning, on the Sabbath morning, I heard the news, and I heard Mayfield, Kentucky, it was just like a stab, because I was pastor in Paducah, Kentucky for 6 years, and still an elder as the associate pastor for another year before that. And so I'm familiar living in the town of Paducah and traveled to Mayfield countless times to visit people. Yeah. But when I heard of the devastation that occurred in, is it Graves County, I believe?
Graves County, yes.
Graves County, and of course, Paducah's in McCracken County. And it really piqued my interest, and I have been watching the reports online in different places. So there were other areas as well in other states of this same system. So what areas were affected, Doug?
Well, as I understand it, the tornado that ended up hitting Mayfield actually started in Arkansas. It traveled 200 and something miles before it hit Mayfield and probably kept going. There, I don't think anybody's quite sure about what tornado hit where, but I think the weather people were saying that up to four or five different tornadoes were in Kentucky. And so there were quite a few places that were hit. You were talking about the geography of Mayfield. There's not a whole lot of big cities, as you know, or big towns around here. Paducah is probably the largest in the area. Mayfield's probably the second largest. And so every other place is kind of a small place. So it took a while for damage reports to come in. But as I understand it, there's a town called Dawson Springs. Mm-hmm. That's not too terribly far away, probably about, I don't know, an hour away from Paducah, that was hit pretty hard. There's a town of Bremen, probably a little bit further north than Dawson Springs, that was hit pretty hard. A number of communities, such as there's a place called Cambridge Shores. It's a kind of a resort vacation community on the shores of Kentucky Lake, the land between the lakes. That was hit pretty hard. Eddyville, one of our members lived there. He said several homes had been destroyed over there. So it was just a widespread thing, and I probably haven't even hit close to the amount of damage and destruction that had happened at all the other places.
Well, you mentioned Dawson Springs. We actually, when I was pastor in Paducah, Kentucky, we started a church in Dawson Springs, and for about a little over a year, which we moved to Madisonville, another half hour out, because Dawson Springs was a bit too close to Paducah, so we moved to Madisonville. Right. But now you have it even further. You have Paducah and Henderson. So
Henderson, yeah. It's
further out. But all the towns that you mentioned there in the Land Between the Lakes area, Eddyville, and all the other towns there in that river area, you know, it's just really kind of nostalgic, painful. And as you go through the history, you know, you just give a lot of thought to it. So I have been just very, very connected, you know, to your area. Also, one of your members, Jack Leisure, writes to me every week, you know,
yes.
the newsletter.
Yeah.
He writes a very, very detailed newsletter.
We love Jack. We love Cora. He's a very dedicated servant. And I enjoy his letters as well.
Well, it kind of connects me with that past of people that have come and gone and died, you know, all that. But that's life. So maybe give a few more bits of information about the strength. Well, you've kind of mentioned that. But in comparison to perhaps norms, you know, every year there are tornadoes and everything. But just what was the total strength of this? And maybe you have answered that, but maybe say more.
Well, the meteorologists say it's very likely, and I think the last time I read, which was yesterday or perhaps it was the day before, that they were still evaluating exactly what the tornado strength was. The one that hit Mayfield, I think they're almost certain that was an F5, which I understand is the highest on the scale. And I think they assessed that by looking at the damage. And I think most people, you know, when they think of wind damage, they perhaps think of trees down, you know, and limbs down, that kind of thing, you know, a lot of blowing around. It's nowhere close to that. The amount of damage was just tremendous. Trees being down were the least of the damage. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so they were very powerful. But from the other, if they were theorizing there were other tornadoes, and I think I read that they were all at least F3, every single one of them. That if there were multiple tornadoes. So pretty bad.
Did you take any pictures, by the way?
We did, but we did not want to. At the time, we were driving through, and it was quite a struggle to get through. We had to go visit Craig, and his daughter Rebecca, his wife Carolyn. And in order to get there, we had to drive through the worst parts of Mayfield, the worst hit parts of Mayfield. And it was indescribable. It was absolutely, you drive past a place and you'd see a pile of bricks, and you knew that it was a place at one time. We drove past buildings that had been lifted off their foundations and kind of shoved over somewhat. Imagine a wind powerful enough to move an entire building. It was incredible. The downtown area of Mayfield, it was devastated. It was like a bomb had gone off. There was not a building that was not extensively damaged in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And so that was repeated in many, many communities across the area. I mean, just absolute devastation and destruction.
Yeah, we've been looking at pictures that were taken on the ground, and also drone shots, especially of that candle factory. I mean, it was leveled. It was like Hiroshima.
Yeah, and I wondered, we did take pictures, but we didn't want to be insensitive. So mm-hmm. we only took pictures when nobody was around, but there was a lot of people around assisting in cleanup and digging through the rubble. And so we didn't get a whole lot of pictures, but we did get some, but we didn't want to be seen as exploiting, you know, a tragedy.
Sure, and that's perfectly understood. I saw some of the first news trucks come there from Louisville, and it seemed like there was almost nobody around at first. I thought, certainly they're going to have the National Guard out there and everything, but people were still shell-shocked on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
As to what is all, they were walking around in kind of a daze.
Yeah.
And it was,
yeah.
I really felt for these people.
Oh, yeah. You can't not. We didn't hear about the entire extent of the damage like you until some time had gone by. We did our Sabbath service run on Saturday, and and talked to, of course, it was the main topic of conversation at both the churches we went to about what had happened. But as the day went on and we talked to more and more people and heard more and more reports, the extent of it became clear, the amount of the damage.
How many church members were directly affected? Maybe you could give us a firsthand report now that it's been 5 days after the tornado.
Well, as soon as it happened, when they started talking about Mayfield, my mind immediately went to the Evans family because they live right near downtown Mayfield. And so I immediately, as soon as I could, I tried getting them on the cell phone, hoping that I could get them on the cell phone, tried calling them, tried texting them, didn't hear anything for a little while. And of course, your mind then goes to the worst scenarios. And but finally, they called back about 10:30 or so, and he said they were all fine. It's funny, but it's not funny. You know, it's dark out, and they've been just through this event that they have no idea, though, about the extent of the damage around them. So they're kind of wondering, why are you calling? You know, it was a, we heard the roar and we felt the pressure, and yeah, we looks like we got a couple windows broken, but doesn't seem that bad.
Uh-huh.
The next day, of course, going to see them and seeing that they had really dodged a bullet. They were three or four blocks away from the worst hit area. And the difference of three or four blocks was the difference between them having a tree on their house, two broken windows, a garage roof blown off, the garage door blown off, and them being dead. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, God was very, good to them, looking out for them. I had sent out another email asking about if anybody else had been affected, and I got a phone call from another member who lives in Eddyville, and he told a fantastic story of how he had heard, him and his wife had heard the tornado, and of course had been watching the weather reports, and they took shelter in the lowest part of their house, which was up against a hill. And they, like everyone else, they described the roar as like a freight train, but much, much, much louder. And it turns out that if it was coming right at them, which he believed it was, it skipped right over their house. Then he heard that all around him, he knew of many, many houses that were destroyed. So again, God was looking out for them in that way.
Well, that's quite a miraculous story. I'd like to go back to the tree that fell on Craig's home. Well, what touched me this morning when you wrote something here, you mentioned how the VA had volunteers were out there to help cut the tree up and get it off his house. And I mean, just the immediate outpouring of
right,
people wanting to help one another.
Yeah, there was quite a tremendous response down there. And Craig and his wife, they're not in the best of physical help, and so they can't do a whole lot. When we went down there Sunday, we helped them to put some plastic over the windows, brought them a few supplies, that kind of stuff. But we couldn't do nothing about the tree. I don't have a chainsaw. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, Craig asked, well, can you ask everybody in the church if they can come and help, you know, to get this tree off? And I was about ready to do that. He in the meantime, he had been busy. He had somebody from the VA, I think, had gotten a hold of him, and they had outfitted him within probably 6 or 7 hours. It sounds like they had gotten him a generator, because they're not going to have electricity for a long time. They had gotten him a generator. They had gotten him some gas for the generator. They had come and cut down the tree off the roof. They'd carted the tree trunk away and put a piece of tarp up on the roof, and it was just a fantastic response. They were very heartened by the response, not only of the church but also of the community and the agencies that are all involved in it.
Well, those stories, honestly, they bring tears to my eyes because of how people in times of hardship pull together. Sometimes we don't get along too well in good times. I wish we could get this way with other in these kinds of times. But in times of hardship, people really pull together. I know that in our church here in Cincinnati, that there's an effort here to collect a truck full of things, you know, to take directly down there, including lots of bottled water. Because one of the first things we heard was that bottled water was gone. and as far away as even Paducah, you know, that was everybody was buying everything off the shelves. So
we had gone. One of their first needs was for water down there, Craig and Carolyn and Rebecca, and we went to quite a few stores trying to find gallons of water to try and bring down to them, and not having much luck. It's a strange thing to go into Walmart and see an entire aisle full of water completely gone. We did manage to find a little out of the way Dollar General that had some half gallons of water left, and we bought 9 of those and wiped them out. So but now again, thanks to the volunteers and everyone else, they have plenty of water and food, although they are asking for more. Mm-hmm. Water and food. So,
well, that's one thing that I just like to mention here too, is that, you know, we have pledged to give support through you, you know, through what you see there from the church and from LifeNets, which is a parachurch organization for humanitarian aid. And so we do have a fund with Good Works at goodworks.ucg.org. You can donate directly there, or else you can donate through the homepage of lifenets.org. In fact, we're putting a story up about that and a PayPal button and information about donations, because people have asked. They said, we have people writing here to our home office here saying, how can we help? And so, you know, we want to be able to provide a means, and every single cent will go to victims very directly through our people in those areas.
Yeah, those responses, they have been universal. We have heard from so many people. Number one, wanted to know if we're okay. But you talk to anybody in the area and they have the same story. They said they haven't heard from people for 10, 15 years, and they're calling them or texting them to see if they're okay. You know, and that really is a reflection of the care that people have. And we don't often realize, you know, that people do care. Mm-hmm. And when people hear from people, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference.
I know I had received a Facebook notification from somebody I have not seen in probably 40 some years. She was a teenage girl at that time. Now she's obviously 40 years later. And, you know, she marked herself safe. You know, that's my only contact with her. And honestly, her picture popped up there. And I was just so overjoyed to hear that, you know, from people that I have not heard from in a long time, to notify us that they're okay. So I wrote back and said, we're so grateful. And her brother chimed in later with a like, you know. And it was just a nice reconnection to memories that we had that had gone dormant for years, and yet, you know, we were here. You know, when you drift away and you move away, you just don't have the connections. But through a tragedy like this, you have a common thing. You kind of wonder, well, how are these people doing? Are they okay? And it's been just a good experience for me personally, having been, you know, involved in that area, to just hear from them.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see that time does not erase those bonds, does not break those bonds, does not break those links, and that those links still exist, you know, even decades later, and as we know, into eternity eventually. Mm-hmm. So it's very inspiring.
Well, life is all about relationships. Our work that we do in the church is about relationships. And it's tragedies like this, unfortunately, or as one way that they do bring us together. I remember other, the one big disaster that I had worked through in the Paducah area were a couple of years where there was flooding on the Ohio River. And you know the flood wall there, you know,
yes,
downtown.
Yes.
Well, the water was up to the very top of that. I thought that flood wall is not, you know, it's a big cement thing, but that's going to bust.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not believe the volume of water that was there. And I traveled, you know, between Cape Girardeau and Paducah, and they had the old bridges, which are probably still there. And so the I-57 is kind of taking care of one of those areas.
Right.
But
right.
Those rickety old bridges, and the bridge at Brookport, you know, because I lived after a while on the Illinois side, you know, and trucks that met each other on the bridge would sometimes knock off each other's mirrors.
We had our family came down for this last Thanksgiving and they had to get rerouted. Our daughter and her family had to get rerouted over the Brookport Bridge. They were terrified. Get used to it when that highway is blocked up. That's what you got to do.
And it's not just the narrowness, but if you'd look on what you're riding on, at least that time it was right. It was like a screen that you're riding.
It is. You look down, it's just like, oh boy.
You see the river.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you see two semi trucks meeting each other.
Right.
But we had people that lived on the Brookport side and literally no more than 3 miles from our home where we lived on Harrison Street in Paducah. So what are your plans now, Doug, as far as talking to people, organizing help? Maybe tell us a little bit about the kinds of things you would need so that people could contact you directly and people can contact us about what we could do. I know it's been mentioned that there's a need for water and that type of thing. But, you know, there's several different layers. I might just mention it at this point. There's the first responders, you know, with the Red Cross and all those people that are there. But then, and that's when people send money. That's when people really help out. But then 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, there's still a lot of rebuilding to be done. And so I feel like we do better with the periods of time after that, because I know that there's a lot of people who are there sending crews and to help. But then there's also a lot of work that needs to be done over the next year. Maybe comment on about what you see, even at this early stage, for the long term of the rehabilitation of this area.
Well, as you mentioned, the initial response has been fantastic. And you've mentioned also that you have people contacting you about what they can do. Same thing here. And most people, they do want to help. We talked about this yesterday at our Bible study about what we can do. And so we had some leftover clothing from some rummage sales that we were having at the Paducah Church building. And Jack Leisure had said that the police department and the fire department here in Paducah were taking donations. So we brought some clothes down to them, but they didn't want any more clothes. They have enough clothes. Basically, all this they were going to take was food and toys for mm-hmm. children. So that's all they need for right now. But like you said, this is an ongoing thing. Mayfield's not going to have power, large sections of it, for quite a while. Craig was saying that the substation that serves them was destroyed. So they're going to have an entire substation built. They're going to have to replace multiple power lines, power poles that were snapped off, bent, or broken. They're going to have to replace them. It could be weeks, possibly months, until electricity is restored. They're not too far off. They're not too bad right now because they do have so many volunteers that are going around from house to house. Craig said within the span of 4 or 5 hours, they had 3 or 4 different groups stopping by with food and water to check up on people. The city of Mayfield, and this might be hearsay, they seem to believe that at some point the sewage system is going to fail. Craig had suggested, well, maybe we could get a porta potty, you know, just in case, you know. And so I called a porta potty place and asked if they gave to residential, or if they could set them up at residential places. And they said, well, technically we do, but the city of Mayfield has gotten every porta potty that we have plus some. Uh-huh. And they were planning on setting them up in residential neighborhoods. So for a long time, it looks like at this point that the only facilities are going to be in community facilities in neighborhoods. So it's going to go on for quite a while. And that, like you said, that initial rush is great, but it's the ongoing needs that are going to show how things go.
Well, Doug, please let us know specifics, because people are well-meaning and may send things that are totally unneeded. Like you were mentioning, you know, there was enough clothing sent. They need food. They need to have the basics for survival.
Yeah, the the thing about the Mayfield tornado was it did hit mostly the downtown area. And yeah, there were some residences there, but mainly it God, again, I don't, you can call it God's protection, you can call it fate, but there were huge residential areas that were not directly affected. But again, everybody had a tree down. Nobody has power, so it is an ongoing thing, especially when it comes to things that you need when there's no power.
Well, just keep us informed, because we need to know, and need know, because people are standing by and will be for some time here to help out, because we're 5 hours from Cincinnati to Mayfield. It's not a bad drive, and we have vehicles here that could manage to bring the kinds of things that you feel, you know, are needed. So if you are interested in helping, be sure to check the Good Works webpage, which is part of ucg.org, goodworks.ucg.org, and you can donate directly to our disaster relief. But also through LifeNets, you can go to lifenets.org, and we have a story about what's happening and a place for you to donate, either by PayPal or if you would like to donate through other means. We'll be glad to be able to service your donation to make sure it gets to exactly the purpose that you have described. So, Doug, anything else you'd like to say at this time?
We were talking before about the relationships, and one of the most moving scenes that we saw while we were down there in Mayfield was many roads were still blocked, so traffic was tied up everywhere. You know, people were trying to get down there to help. People were trying to get down there to visit friends or relatives, or to find friends or relatives. And so getting around was difficult. You had construction vehicles that were cleaning up things, that kind of stuff. And at one point, we got stuck in this line of cars that could not move. And so we were waiting probably two or three cars back from where these two cars had passed each other, and they both stopped. And the ladies got out of the car, sat their dog for the longest time. And it was just, everybody was just patient with them, because they probably spent 5 or 10 minutes, you know, after finding each other. And it was just great to see how they were just patient, and they did their business, went on, and traffic moved again. So it was inspiring.
Well, so inspiring to hear. So inspiring to hear about the goodness, the good side of human nature coming out like this, and people learning to be patient, not honking, and rejoicing at the fact that people could be reunited after this. So thank you so much for sharing that, Doug. We really appreciate that. Doug, I know that you are probably on your way down to Mayfield again and seeing what you can do down there. Be sure to report to us so that we can report to the entire church about what we do.
Thanks, Vic.
So we want to thank our listeners for joining us today on Inside United. Be sure to tell your friends about our weekly podcast. You can find us on the homepage of ucg.org. The homepage of ucg.org, go to the main menu bar and click on podcast. Also, you can find us on Spotify and on any number of Apple or Android podcasting apps. We'd also like to hear from you, and you can write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. So be sure to tell your friends about our weekly podcast. We'd like to have you share what we talk about with them as well. So again, thank you for joining us. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.